The Shifting Fog, written by Kate Morton and read by Amelia Fox. Last November, I had a nightmare. It was 1924, and I was at Riverton again. All the doors hung wide open, silk billowing in the summer breeze. An orchestra perched high on the hill beneath the ancient maple, violins lilting lazily in the warmth. The air rang with pealing laughter and crystal, and the sky was the kind of blue we'd all thought the war had destroyed forever. One of the footmen, smart in black and white, poured champagne into the top of a tower of glass flutes, and everyone clapped, delighting in the splendid wastage. I saw myself, the way one does in dreams, moving amongst the guests, moving slowly, much more slowly than one can in life, the others a blur of silk and sequins. I was looking for someone. Then the picture changed, and I was near the summer house. Only it wasn't the summer house at Riverton. It couldn't have been. This was not the shiny new building Teddy had designed, but an old structure with ivy climbing the walls, twisting itself through the windows, strangling the pillars. Someone was calling me. A woman, a voice I recognised, coming from behind the building on the lake's edge. I walked down the slope, my hands brushing against the tallest reeds. A figure crouched on the bank. It was Hannah, in her wedding dress, mud splattered across the front, clinging to the appliqued roses. She looked up at me, her face pale where it emerged from shadow. Her voice chilled my blood. "You're too late." She pointed at my hands. "You're too late." I looked down at my hands, young hands covered in dark river mud, and in them the stiff, cold body of a dead foxhound. I know what brought it on, of course. It was the letter from the filmmaker. I don't receive much mail these days. The occasional postcard from a dutiful, holidaying friend, a perfunctory letter from the bank where I keep a savings account, an invitation to the christening of a child whose parents, I am shocked to realise, are no longer children themselves. Ursula's letter had arrived on a Tuesday morning, late in November, and Sylvia had brought it with her when she came to make my bed. She'd raised heavily sketched eyebrows and waved the envelope. "Mail today. Something from the States by the look of the stamp. Your grandson, perhaps?" The left brow arched, a question mark, and her voice lowered to a husky whisper. "Terrible business, that. Just terrible. And him such a nice young man."